Bucham Aboyim to the second series of Shiurim on the thought of Rav Kook, of Rav Yitzchak Kohen Kook, Zekasak Levrocha, and the Shiurim are basing myself on the Shmone Kavatzim, in particular the Pinkas Adapim, which is, I presume, is a notebook of his writings, which was found and published very recently, and the notes are from the time that he was a Rav in Yafo, from Tafresh Samach Dalet to Tafresh Ayin Dalet, as we explained in last week's Shiur. In any case, last time we were just, for the most part, reading and translating Rav Kook. We're in section one, which is Daf Mem Gimel in the printed version, as was, I have in front of me, which was printed a few years ago. And Rav Kook there speaks about two hasagas, elokos, two divine, understandings or apprehensions of the divine. Hasaga Ishis Vasaga Klolis. This is the Hasaga Ishis, which in fact actually is where a person apprehends the divine within the, I guess, the physical world. And then there's the Hasaga Klolis, which Rav Kook understood to be a type of philosophical apprehension of the divine, beginning with Rav Kook himself. I'm quoting Rav Kook, beginning with what's called a Havana Hashpinozit, which means a Spinozian concept, that in fact, that there is nothing in the world which is not a part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and everything in the world is merely parts of God, I guess, divine extension. And then, after that, says Rav Kook, that when a person actually comes to understand, or the mind seeks to reconcile the chulshos and ki'urim, which is the limitations and more negative aspects of experience and of ontology, then in fact this actually converts to what he called the rayon hakanti, which is the Kantian understanding or apprehension of the divine. And in fact, says Rav Kook, right, in such a case, in Cain, I'm going to actually begin with the last line on Daf Mem Gimel. And this is, I think, more or less where we left off before we galloped into the sunset, into the ontological sunset last time, philosophical sunset. Vim Cain komash anu royim inu royim rak tzel shel dava, v'loy dava. In other words, everything that we apprehend is really a shadow of something. And not the real, right? A shadow of something, which somehow beckons the Kantian thing unto itself, which we'll speak about. So when we examine things which appear to us to be kiyur, ugly, resha, evil, chulshe vehefset, right? In other words, basically, the failings of the world, whether they're ethical failings or physical failings, ontological failings, are really, in fact, failings from our own point of view. From our own perception, our own apprehension, from the standpoint of our own apprehension. Right, and that's how, in fact, actually, we look at ourselves. In other words, man's apprehension of the objective is really, in fact, truly the manner in which he apprehends things. But the object of apprehension is not necessarily reflects the way in which man apprehends things. Really, everything is complete. Everything is shalem. Mavik, meo, mishuchlal, illuminating, bright. And everything somehow unites with the Ein Sof. In other words, what Rav Kook says is that our apprehension of the world is very much our apprehension, but not reflective of the objective world which we apprehend. But in fact, by realizing that it's our apprehension, then man can connect to something which transcends the objective world of his apprehension. And this, in fact, connects him, right, with something which is more illuminating, more shalom, more complete, of greater, higher level perfection. And this, in fact, connects with the Ein Sof. So, Rav Kook understands that the Kantian concept, that the thing in and of itself, in fact, actually is something which cannot be objectively understood, that man actually is connected through understanding his own apprehension to something which transcends the physical world as it appears to us. And this connects man with something which transcends the physical world. And Rav Kook uses this as something which connects us with the Ein Sof, the infinite light of God. And this machshava, this thought, propels us higher. Right? We don't say about a Kodesh Baruch Hu that he's just everything, which is, I guess, the Spinozian concept. Because really, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu is everything, and just everything, that we see a world which has boundaries, which has limitations, which has shadows. That there's a perfection of God that goes beyond the world which we apprehend, the world of finitude. In other words, there's an infinity that goes beyond the apprehensible physical world of finitude and boundary and limitation. To the infinite. Right? So if this thing would be revealed, we would see a perfection, a divine perfection, that would actually illuminate at the highest levels of perfection and heights. But this understanding is hidden within human thought. In other words, this understanding is something which can be objectified, which can be defined within the world, but it's an understanding that's rooted the emek ha-machshav ha-noishis, deep within the human method of apprehension, human thought. Ki ken yesh bekir b'nachal adonim, because within it is a river of adonim, a pleasantness, me'a'ir elokis, from the light of God, that the divine soul within man grows and develops as a result of that. Now, what is Rav Kook saying? This is very, very nice language. What is he saying? First of all, we have to understand, before we launch into Kant and Spinoza, what is the sources of Rav Kook in Rabbi Seinu HaKadoshim? And it seems to be very, very clear, and this is also that, in fact, Rav Kook is very, very much following the Ramchal. Rav Kook himself, as we mentioned in the first Shia, mentions to the Nazir, that David Cohen, that in fact, right, the basis of his metaphysical and his thought is in fact in the Ramchal. He mentions the Das Tvunais and the Klach Bischei Chochma. I'm going to actually turn to something which is, it's actually forms the basis of the Das Tevunais, and there are many, and of course, it parallels Klach B'Sei Chacho. It's a little bit more convenient for me to read from what's called the Klolim Rishonim, which in the standard version, which has become now the standard version, of Chaim Friedlander, Zekasad Levracha, he put out the Das Tevunais. And the Das Tevunais, at the back of the Das Tevunais of Chaim Friedlander published what's called the Klolim Rishonim. And we have to understand what is the Klolim Rishonim, the relationship between the Klolim Rishonim and the Das Tevunais. The fact is that many people learn Das Tevunais, today, Baruch Hashem, but on the downside, in my opinion, to truly understand the Das Tevunais, one has to have a thorough understanding of the Klolim Rishonim, because the Das Tevunais probably, we could term, is what we would call the nimshal, which is which is in fact a consequence of what the Ramchal said to be the marshal. And the marshal was really developed in the Klal of Rishayim. Now, in fact, the Klal of Rishayim is not a work which the Ramchal just, Chas v'Shalom dreamed up himself, but actually is the Ramchal's understanding of the Eitz Chaim, of the Ari. So in other words, to understand the Das Tevunais, and actually this is the entire thought of the Ramchal, both in the Klal Pesrei Chochma, and certainly in the Das Tevunais, is that we have a tripartite sequence of interpretation. Namely, we have the Eitz Chaim of the Ari, and the Ramchal is in fact actually offering his understanding and interpretation of the Eitz Chaim of the Ari in the Klal Rishonim and also in the Klal Pesrei Chochma. And that's why the Ramchal, and you can see actually the Lashon, the Nusach of the Ramchal, is the Inyan of this, that the Ari speaks about, that the Ari speaks about. It was clearly the Ramchal, in fact, I get the impression that Ramchal was actually giving a shir on the Eitz Chaim.
It goes in order.
And it goes more or less in order. More or less in order. A little bit out of order only because Ramchal understands that in the historiography of history, we're going from the bottom up. But in fact, actually, it does go top down, like the Ari in Eitz Chaim, then it goes bottom up again. But in any case, the Ramchal clearly in the Kololim is offering his understanding, his very deep and profound understanding of the Ari's Kabbalah. And of course, through the Ramchal's understanding of the Ari's Kabbalah, this helps us make the transition from what Ramchal understood to be the marshal to the nimshal, which is the Das Tevunais. In other words, the proper understanding of the Das Tevunais, which is not the way people learn it, is to understand totally the Eitz Chaim, to understand the Kololim, in other words, understand thoroughly and the profound interpretation that the Ramchal presents to us of the Eitz Chaim in the Kolom Rishayim and also in the Klach Pesach Chochma, and then afterwards to go to the understand the Nimshal in the Das Tevunais. Now,
this may be off topic, but
does
Rabbi Tribbetz think that the Arizal intended it to be a Nimshal of the Eitz Chaim?
If you would ask the Ramchal for sure. But this was a bit of a machlokes. The Leshem had different points of view, as one could see in several places, especially I think in the Sefer HaDeah, I think that Nun Zayin, right? But in any case, but although actually you should also know, the Leshem actually says that he helped even publish the Ramchal Sfarim. So we shouldn't think that the Leshem Chas V'Shalom was against the Ramchal. But the Leshem understood the Ramchal could lead to a misperception of what the Kabbalah was. But this is not for now. I think actually if you look at the Leshem Shiur, we actually spoke about that in the first Shiur too, about the concept of Mishal Nimshal, yeah.
Rav Cook's taking that Nimshal one step.
Wait. We'll get to Rav Cook. First we have to get to the Ramchal. Okay, now. So what does the Ramchal do? So we all know there's a notion of a tzimtzum, right? Which is, quote unquote, a contraction, and we've spoken about this now. Okay, we haven't spoken about this now, but one could look in the Asal Klomo of the Gla, and you could learn about the different sheetahs of the Tzimtzum. And then there's a concept called the Kaf. And the Kaf is really the connection between the Matzil and the Netzal, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Bria, right? And most importantly, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man. Now, the Ramchal in the Klolim develops an idea that there's two directions in the Kaf. In other words, there's the upper part of the Kaf, which is Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then there's the bottom part of the Kaf, which is Mitzad Man, Mitzad Debriya. And this he develops in detail in Klal Vav. In the Sefer Klolim, published by Chaim Friedlander, it's Resh Mem Tes and Resh Nun. And he speaks about the fact that there's through the Kav HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing the world to Shleimus. In other words, after the Tzimtzum, there's a Rishimai, which in fact contains all the Ra and Chesro, the Sheresh, the root of all Ra and Chesroinus in the world, especially in the physical world. And then the Kav is the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the world, directs the world to Shleimus. So was the, in the Ari, it's just the Ein Sof. Comes in from the, I guess you call the Ora Makif, or the upper part of the Ora Makif, upper part of the Tzimtzum. And, but the Ramchal understands, in fact, actually there's two directions. There's the upside and the downside. That's the upper part of the Kav, the lower part of the Kav. And the, for the Ramchal, the important thing is that the upper part of the Kav is connected the Shleimus Bitzana Kodesh Baruch. That he speaks about in Daf Reish Nun, in the last paragraph, Diba Maskal Akav. Kodesh Baruch is being piled and directing the world towards the Shleimus from the divine point of view. But then in the beginning of Klal Vav, he speaks about that the Kav, that's the lower side of the Kav, is bringing the world to a Shleimus, not from the divine point of view, but from the point of view of the Briyas, from man's point of view. So in other words, the top of the Kav, which is the, I'm calling it the Tzad HaElyon, is in fact actually Shleimus, Mivchina Shleimusai, for the Shleimus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the lower part of the Kav is Shleimus B'Tzad HaBriyas. And in fact, the Ramchal himself actually speaks about two types of Pa'ulos. This is also in Daf Reish Nun. There's a Pa'ula, right, which comes to be Mashlum the Chesroinos, become to be Misak in the Gulf, Bisam the Chesroinos, the Kalim of the Gulf. And then, says the Ramchal, there's also another Pa'ula, which comes to Mizachach the Gulf, and takes the Gulf out of its Chumias, and brings it to a higher level of Ruchnias. In other words, so therefore there's one Pa'ula which is Mashlim, it comes to perfect and complete the Chesroinos, of the Gulf. And then there's another Pa'ula, which actually comes to be Mezach the Gulf and convert the Gulf into something which is spiritual. So once again, these two Pa'ulas, are really the two parts of the Kav. The upper part of the Kav, lower part of the Kav. And that's what's called, in fact, actually, what I understand to be, is the Tzad HaElyon and Tzad HaTachton of Rav Kook. So in other words, all that Rav Kook calls, what he's calling, here, the Asoga Ishis, Asoga Klolis. Right? Except that, what is the Chiddush of Rav Kook? The Chiddush of Rav Kook, you asked me a question about the Ramchal versus Rav Kook. The Klolim of the Ramchal very, very much understand the process from top down. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is being manig the world. It's Hanhog of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Kabbalah of Yari is coming to reveal to us, the Hanhog of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and everything is from the top down. So actually, if you go through the Kolam B'Ian, you'll see that the Ramchal actually, many times, takes the Kabbalah Yari and brings it to higher steps. The Shvira, etc., etc., because these higher steps, we're looking at acts which the Ari reveals in the Eitz Chaim, is actually originating in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kiviyachol. Now, so now what Ramchal understands that these Pa'ulas are understood from top down. And that's how the Ramchal presents the Kabbalah theory in his Klalim. The Chiddush of Rav Kook, but of course, in historiography, which is the Nimshal of the Ramchal, we have a historical process in which the world comes to perfection. And the historical process actually first begins with what we'd call physical perfection, where in fact the chesroinus, what Ramchal terms as chesroinus, right, and resha and ra in the world are now being rectified. And that, in a certain sense, the Kabbalah Yari, what Ramchal would say, is mostly located in the Olam HaSapirut, in the physical world, B'ri Yetzirah HaNasiyah. And then after that, there comes a second stage of perfection, which actually comes to perfect the Shvira, which actually was in certain times kiviyachol, a pagam in Atzilus itself. Because we know that the Ari speaks about the Shvira as having had an effect on Atzilus. There was a lowering of the Partzufim, as well as the Kalim, the Shivrei Kalim, falling into the physical worlds of Pirut, B'yoyitzi and Asiyah. So the Ramchal understands that the historical process is in fact actually something which begins with a rectification of the physical world. And the rectification of the world means being mashlim, ra, and chesorin. And after that comes much of a spiritual rectification. So the Ramchal basically says that in history, we follow the Ilan HaKadosh not from top down, but from bottom up. But of course, the entire viewpoint of the Ramchal is understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manhig this process. And the halakha of the process always is from top down. Now, yeah.
No, not confused. Alama period includes what?
Physical world. Briyatzi and Asiya. But both Yasiya. Let's look at some of the physical world. I mean, there's Atzilas. Yiva Gamel Chad Bahu. God is the one with his creation. That's an Atzilas. It's purely spiritual. And then the world become more physical. It's a very interesting thing. A distinction. I mean, it's a distinction. This is the reason. This would be the uncultural interpretation of the Ari. In the Ari, the Ika acts of man, a rectification of the Atzilas. Man is Masaka in the Atzilas. And this is a tikkun of, and the tikkun, the rectification of the physical world, just bring the physical world up to the spiritual. But in the Ramchal, the Kiddush of the Ramchal, we see that there's a rectification of the physical world. In the Ari, Briyatzi and Asiya, right, only emerge after the Shvira. In the Ramchal, Briyatzi and Asiya exist before that. In other words, the Ramchal understands the physical world is an object of man's rectification and completion. Whereas the Ari, as I understand the Ari, certainly this would be, certainly according to the main interpreter of the Ari, like the Rashash, the Briyatzi and Asiya are really not really worlds. But the fact they actually result from the process of the breaking of the vessels, the Shvira, but the ultimate purpose of man is to be Mesaka in the Atzilus, rectify Atzilus. In any case, what I want to say is that the Ramchal understands that the process of rectification, both Hanhaga B'Kadosh Baruch Hu and man's rectification, is really, in fact, in two steps. And these two steps, result from the fact that the Kav, which is the means by which the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the highest worlds, this, which is called the Kav, where, in fact, it reaches to man. So there's two sides of the Kav. There's the God side, which is the unhug of the world in accordance with the Shleim perfection of divine perfection, Shleimus Rekfi Shleimusai, as Ramchal explains it. And then there's the unhug of the world, not Kfi the Shleimus B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, but Kfi the Shleimus of Nivroyim, the perfection of the creation. So it turns out is that this, in my opinion, is the basis of Rav Kook's Hasoge Ishis for Hasoge HaKlolis. Hasoge Ishis is, as Rav Kook's, right, Hasoge Ishis is in fact actually man apprehending the divine within the physical world. And there, right, Bitach HaYetzirah says Rav Kook. And then man, right, as man apprehends the divine with the physical, right, and right, so in other words, lahakas abay mitach devar v'sayetz mitach yetzira. So this brings man to rise spiritually. This man, this is the, in fact, the tikkun of the physical world of the Ramchal. And this, when man rises,
Hasaga Kalit is
no, it's not Hasaga Kalit. It's Hasaga Ishis. It's Hasaga Ishis, right? It's like a confused Hasaga Ishis, right? So in other words, but then says Ramchal, there's another aliyah. Of course, there's another aliyah, which are Hasaga HaKlolis. This is purely a metaphysical. This is an understanding of God's relationship to the world. It was Kfi the Shleimus of the Baire, or Kfi the Shleimus in which Kadosh Baruch created the world. So first, it begins with this Spinozian concept that everything is God, everything is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then after that, the Kook says it rises to a Kantian understanding that there's something which, an Ein Sof, a connection with an infinite light, which goes beyond the apprehensible world. Because the apprehensible world cannot be sustained in a Spinozian notion given its limitations and its and everything what appears to be limitations. That's what the Rav Kook is saying. Now, is this clear?
Can I?
Yes. Question.
I'm not sure if this is a question in Ramchal or Rav Kook or both. In the Nimshal, after stage one perfection of the lower world, Does stage two happen automatically by itself, or is that something the man also is involved in?
So in the Ramchal, it's not clear how man, all perfection is really coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, in the Ramchal, man's acts are not really central in the Ramchal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the word Bechira appears one place in the entire Das Tvunas, my last count. The Ramchal is really, the Vatva is really Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It seems that man's Bechira in the Ramchal, as I understand from Das Tvunas, is because of the concept called Nahama Tekisufa, that through man's actions, right, then man will get Tzchar, and therefore won't be embarrassed if he gets Tzchar. But ultimately in the Ramchal, man is going to be rewarded at the very, very end. And the Tikkun is going to come into the world independent. That's why the Ramchal, for example, in Klal Lama Dalet, speaks about a Tikkun that has absolutely nothing to do with man's acts, but it's a process where the world's being brought to perfection independent of the acts of man. Of course, the Ramchal speaks of another Hanhaga, and at the end these two Hanhagas are combined, but that's a very, very important part of the Ramchal, that everything is coming from the top down. Man is not central in the Ramchal.
So is there any real difference between the two stages?
No. There's no difference between two stages. I said one is more physical, one is more spiritual. Right. Now, what are these two levels, these Spinozian and Kantian levels in Rav Kook? Mm-hmm. Okay, once again, Rav Kook is locating the Kantian level within man himself, which is, of course, very, very Kantian. The category imperative, the transcendental analytic. In other words, it's really mumbus. It's really very much from within man. Of course, through within man, man apprehends that which is beyond the world, but it is discovered within man. Now, it seems to me is that if we want to locate this, once again, we want to locate this in the Ramchal himself. And it seems to me that the best place to locate this in the Ramchal, in the Klolim, is in fact right in Klal Chav Dalet. And there, the Ramchal, it's a very difficult Klal, that I think you really have to know a lot of Kabbalah. I mean, understand very, very well a lot of Kabbalah. But there, the Ramchal introduces a very, very interesting notion. And I'm speaking here in, actually, it's Daf Ayin Dalet Reish. Reish Ayin, Klal Chav Dalet begins in Reish Ayin Gimel, but extends to Ayin Dalet Reish. And the Ramchal, interesting, the concept of the Ramchal, what I call ethics preceding ontology. Namely, that chesed din and rachamim precede what's called chokhmah u'bina. And that's in the last paragraph, when daf ein dal reish, diba maschil v'yenei adikta imidas reitzos ha chesed din v'rachamim asosum be that looks like this. In the Ramchal, there's a concept of a type of chesed din rachamim that precedes chokhmah u'bina. Why should chesed din rachamim precede chokhmah u'bina? So the answer is that chokhmah u'bina is the world, the ontology of the world which we apprehend. We can understand that chokhmah u'bina, if we look at the entire world as being the Chokhmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's in a certain sense what Rav Kook would understand to be what's called the Spinozian concept of the world. Right? As Rav Kook explains that the concept of Chokhmah Bina is really the general features of the world and the particulars of the world. That explains in the Klal himself. In other words, the world, the ontology of the world, replete with the general, the particular, that's called Chokhmah Bina. But says Rav Kook, says Ramchal, which is really an interpretation of the Ri, of the Dikta and Mazla. This is concepts in Kabbalah, right? Which, I'm just assuming that the Ramchal understood them. Of course he understood them. He understood them very deeply. But in any case, there's a concept of Chesed and Rachamim that precedes, that it's ontologically prior to the ontology of Chokhmah Bina, because Chokhmah Bina is the ontology of the world, which we perceive, which we can apprehend. Chokhmah Bina apprehension. That's the Spinozian concept. But there's a Kantian concept, which in my opinion is really an ethical concept. It's a categorical imperative, which means deep within a priori within man's thinking, there's a notion of ethics, and also perhaps a notion of an Ein Sof, right, who creates the world. Creation is an ethical concept from the God side. And this is what Rav Kook is referring to, the Kantian idea, Harayon HaKantit. So in other words, the higher Ora Elyon consists of two parts. There's the ontological part, which is a little bit mitzideinu, is the world which we apprehend. That's the Spinozian understanding of all reality as being God, part of God, descriptions of attributes of God. And then beyond that, right, there's what Rav Kook understands the Ari's concept of the Tikkun, which is Chesed and Rachum that goes beyond that, which in fact actually is the ethical concept which creates it, and that's the connection to the Ein Sof. In other words, basically, I see you.
I need a mat.
What it was like this, is that in the Ramchal understands the Kabbal Diri as is an ontology from man's point of view, and there's an ethic of creation from God's point of view. And God's ethic of creation is what's responsible for this ontology. God's ethic, of course, cannot be apprehended objectively by man, but man understands it, connects to it deep inside his own machshavah, as Rav Kook says it. That's what Rav Kook is saying. Now, what's interesting is that it shows the deep understanding of Rav Kook had of the Ramchal. Because if you learn the Das Tavunais, you usually get confused, because Ramchal says in Das Tavunais, what is the purpose of creation? So on one hand, he says to us, Kidei Lahetiv. You all know that from seminary, from Derech Hashem. But also, right, the Ramchal says that the purpose of a creation is what's called Gilo Yechudai. Is it Lahetiv or Gilo Yechudai? Right? Lahetiv. He speaks about in Klal Yud Beis. And Gilo Yechudai, and I'm speaking of Das Tavunais, but then Gilo Yechudai he speaks about in Klal Lama Dalet.
Are they not the same thing?
No, of course they're not the same thing. Lahetiv is an ethical concept. Because both wants to bring the world to goodness. Gilui Yechudai is the unity of God as it presents itself to man. That's Gilui Hashem. What the Ramchal wants to say is Lahetiv Gilui Yechudai is that Gilui Yechudai is Bitzideinu. That's the ontology that man observes a unity of God. From man's point of view, man's apprehension. Lahetiv is really from God's point of view. That's the divine ethical concept which man can instinct deep within the deep ethical, what Kant would call the categorical imperative, that's hidden within the recesses of man's own thought. And that's what Rav Kook saying, B'toch ha-machshava noishis. And this concept of Gilui Yechudai, right, as opposed to Lahetiv, is really what Rav Kook understands philosophically, the Spinozian versus the Kantian understanding, apprehension, right, of reality, of philosophical truth, which according to Rav Kook is really two steps in the Tzara Elyon, in the philosophical, spiritual apprehension of God, divorced from the physical world, and, you know, the Tzara of the Kav, which is Mitzita from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, the Mitzidoi of the Kav has also a Mitzideinu Mitzidoi within the Mitzidoi.
Right.
And that in fact, actually, in my opinion, I'm not going to give a shiur on the klala, maybe one day we will, but in fact, one of the big chidushim of the Ramchal, in my opinion, Bechlau, is Ramchal is the first thinker to understand the Arizal within the concept of a Kosh Baruch within himself, Kosh Baruch base of the world. This is implicit in the Arizal, but not explicit. The Ramchal made it more explicit. The person who explicates it black and white is actually the Nefesh HaChayim. That's the Balatani turns too. That's Bal Kol Amosim Kol Amen. But in any case, this is an important feature of the Ramchal's Kabbalah. Rav Kook picked up on this, and not only does he speak about Tzara Elyon, Tzara Tachton, but even Tzara Elyon has a Mitzideinu Mitzidoi as part of Tzara Elyon too. Anyway, now, what's the Chiddush in Rav Kook? The Chiddush in Rav Kook is not only this profound thing of the Ramchal, but in my opinion, it's the Nusach. Remember I said to you that the Ramchal's Kalalim is always from top down. Rav Kook is from bottom up. Rav Kook always begins with the physical world. And as we'll see in Mitzvah Shem, the physical world of science. We're going to see Bergson is playing a very, very important role in Rav Kook. We read about this in the Hakdama of the Nazir to Orat HaKodesh. And Rav Kook understands too that the Tzad HaElyon also is an expression, the Nusach is an expression of modern thought from the standpoint of the history of philosophy, just Spinoza and Kant. So in other words, the Chiddush of Rav Kook is that where the Ramchal, the Nusach of the Ramchal is from top down, Hagav Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rav Kook is from bottom up. Rav Kook took the Nimshol of the Ramchal and made it from bottom up. Now from bottom up, a person has to draw upon the bottom, which is science, nature, sociology, politics, and eventually philosophy, metaphysics, ontology, etc., etc. Yes, just, I've cooked it in a nutshell.
Just that's very useful and very good, and I think I've got it now, but just to clarify, the Ramchal had just two lines on his cover, as it were. There was top and bottom, mitzidenu. Rav Kook has the whole bottom half is all
the physical world.
Tikkun
Chasronus and Ra.
And then in the upper world, he splits that into two.
Now the Ramchal also puts the top of the cup too, because he speaks about these Atik and Arich and Dikna and Mazla and Mochas Simar. In other words, Rav Kook places that within the Kabbalah of the Ari.
Okay.
And what Rav Kook did is they took the Ari and understood that from a philosophical point of view, Spinoza and Kant.
So the path for Rav Kook then is, as he said, to focus first on the lower, on the mitzvahs and the physical and the practical stuff in the lower half of the calf, and then eventually to get, when you've perfected that, to get up to the Spinoza and then to the Kantian.
Right, very good. Now, of course, Rav Kook, this is, we've actually gone into an tangent a little bit, because we haven't gone to the main part of this piece of Rav Kook, which Rav Kook says that many times the Ora Elyon interferes with the Tzad HaTachton, which is really what Rav Kook wants to say. In other words, Rav Kook is going to understand that focusing on metaphysical thinking is actually going to say in the next paragraph is limited to a select few, but should not be the avoider of most people. And that Amirtsum we'll get to next week. Okay? I know this was a little difficult. But in my opinion, this is for the most profound things I think that we're going to, that I've seen, maybe the most profound. But for an undisclosed location in Yerushalayim, Kodesh, until next week, Kol Tov.